This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey everyone and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with another episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 194, Fun Activities That Teach. You can find our show notes on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and look for episode 194. Today I want to give a special thank you to our sponsor, Sony Pictures, featuring the movie Smurfs The Lost Village. You can find out more at smurfsmovie.com and be sure to check out the Christian study guide for this movie on our show notes page on podcast 194 and also at affirmsfilms.com. Well, you can remember to grab the show notes on our page and also give us a thank you, if you will, by sharing this podcast. If you're on our website, we have all kinds of social media little thingies and you can share it across the board there on Facebook, on Twitter, Pinterest, or wherever you are. And also give us a rating on iTunes. If you search for iTunes on your computer, you can find it that way. You'd have to download iTunes to do it. Or if you have a smartphone, you can do it on your phone. If you have an Android and you have Google Play or any podcast app, you can also give us a rating that way. And that just is your way of telling us thank you for bringing you these shows weekly. I really appreciate that. And also your sweet notes for those of you that email and give me some encouragement, especially when I'm thinking, gosh, does anybody hear what I'm saying? It's difficult when you're talking to yourself when you record these things, but you guys are super sweet and many of you email, so thank you for that. Well, learning does not have to be fun to be effective, or does it? In this episode, we're going to talk about what I feel are career highlights as a homeschool mom and some activities that we accomplished as a family and as a co-op, actually, for some of these things. And it made my homeschool not only a success, but something that I've been able to pass down to the second and now third generation. So I'm really excited about that. I'm going to go through some things. I've kind of organized them and kind of not. And you're going to find that art and science are really high points in our homeschooling, more so than some of these other things, but and history as well. But I've got another podcast I'm going to be doing on science activities or experiments. And that one is going to be really fun. I'm going to be podcasting on that for episode 195. So be on a lookout for that when it airs. Well, I'm going to start with the first one. And this is a math activity that I feel really transformed my homeschooling. I was a teacher. And as a teacher, I had some certifications. One of them was in early childhood learning, the other was elementary ed, and the other was a K through 12 certification in the area of learning disabilities, or I like to call it children who learn differently. And so as I was a teacher and working through some things, I always liked fun activities because I felt like it engaged the children. But when I started homeschooling, I had this checklist and all these things I wanted to accomplish, and then my kids got evaluated at the end of the year. I know, right? Somebody's actually going to look and see if our kids made progress. Wow. A lot different than a teacher where you can just give them a test at the end of the year, and whether or not they do well, is more a reflection on what they've retained than on you, or it used to be in the old days. I know now there's a whole different set of criteria and parameters. However, when we were doing math, one of my children was really struggling. And even just learning to add and subtract was a big chore. And I know there's flashcards and things like that, but I took my wiggly learners, who were little kids at the time, and I took about 25 sheets of paper. And I just lined them up on the lanai after I had labeled them 0 to 25. So I guess there was 26 sheets of paper. So the first one was 0, and then I had the numbers going up to 25. And I put one number on each sheet of paper. And then what I did was I gave my children their math sheet. So if it said 5 plus 5, they were to stand on the number 5 and count up to 5, another 5, and then they would, you know, lo and behold, be standing on the answer number 10, and they could run back and do their math problem that way. And then the same thing with subtraction. And they really, really loved it. And it was exciting for me to sit back and watch them, not saying, oh my gosh, I have to do, you know, 10 problems or 20 problems or however many problems there were on the sheet, but just kept, you know, they kept looking at me and going, Mommy, this is so much fun. This is so much fun. And so it started me thinking about different things that we did just for fun. And I started looking at the science behind it or the academics behind it. So even something simple like blowing bubbles in the tub became an entire thing on surface tension and, you know, the properties of what makes up a bubble and all kinds of, you know, aerodynamics with the fact, you know, gravity with bubbles that are rising, you know, why are the bubbles rising and not falling to the ground because of gravity, and just all kinds of questions that we started asking. If we flew paper airplanes, I looked at that. And again, we talked about aerodynamics. We talked about different things we could do to our airplanes to make them fly better, higher, faster, longer distances, all kinds of things. We had races with our airplanes. You know, we flew our airplanes down from the second story to the first story. So things like that. And that started my children getting really excited about learning. They were happy to do school. And I wrote a book, the first book I actually wrote for publication, and that is called Teaching Science and Having Fun. And in this book, I talked about different things you could do with science. And the main thing for me was when I did an experiment, it could be fun and we could be having a good time, but I wanted to know the science behind it. Again, because my ulterior motive was to make sure that my homeschool was documented. And so, you know, we could do things like bubbles in the tub, but the next time we were going to do bubbles, we would do them outdoors. And I would give my children all different types of things and say, what can you do to make a bubble holder, that something you can blow through, and even a wire coat hanger that they had to, you know, reform to make it be something that they could dip in the bubbles and blow. Or if I gave them baking soda and vinegar and they were exploding little baggies with baking soda and vinegar, or at one point I would give them these little film holders. Do you remember back when there was 35 millimeter film? But I found a whole bunch of little canisters that were much better because they weren't so tight like those film canisters were. And we could do things like back in the day we used the Alka-Seltzer tablets. I don't even know if you can still buy those, and water. You had to be really careful because when that thing blew, it blew loud and you could get hurt. So of course, then it brought us to what? Health and safety. So we incorporated that in our homeschool. And again, I was documenting away and making sure that we had all of these things written down. So when we come back from a quick commercial break, I want to share with you some of the bigger projects that we did and also some little things that we did that were really fun. We'll be right back.
Now, the Blue Crew is back.
Let's go have some fun.
In their first fully animated adventure.
Nailed it.
To escape a dangerous, undiscovered world, the Smurfs will have to team up with a whole new tribe.
A village full of girls.
Hey, I'm freaking out, you guys!
Smurfs, The Lost Village, rated PG, exclusively from Affirm Films. Get a free Bible-based discussion guide. Visit AffirmFilms.com to download it for free and enjoy great discussions with your whole family about the importance of purpose, friendship, honesty, and loyalty, as seen in Smurfs, The Lost Village. Now playing.
Hey everyone, this is Felice Gerwitz, and you can find the show notes at VintageHomeschoolMoms.com, podcast 194, and I'll be adding all of the things that I've been talking about in the show notes on the podcast post on the website. Okay, so we are talking about some fun things that you can do with your kids. I'm going to do some outdoor activities, and then I'll switch to some that are indoors. They're probably in no order, but I wanted to discuss some of these different things that we had fun with. Magnifying glass in the sun, enough said. I gave my kids the wrong thing at one point. I decided, let's make some s'mores. Well, they found out that that was a super fun activity, and then they took their magnifying glasses outdoors and started burning some leaves and some other things, or the wrapper of the chocolate that they after they made their s'mores. So if you've got precocious little ones, you want to keep an eye on them if you're giving them a magnifying glass, especially a large one to take outdoors. Bug catchers are awesome. We had a little device years ago that had a magnifier attached to a container that you could put bugs in, and that thing was really great. Even after the container broke, we were able to just use the magnifier and use other containers, so that was fun. Pond life is always a good thing. My son loved the pond, and I still have the little book. I think I've talked about this before on one of the episodes. I'm on 194, so I'm sure in one of the previous ones I've talked about it. But I still have that Pond Life book because it reminds me of a little boy that the school system had pretty much written off, and he would have been pegged and categorized the rest of his life. But with homeschooling, he had an entire world to explore, and he is a successful adult now. But he loved that Pond Life book. So it took reading and researching and studying and documenting all of these things that he found, and he could identify them because he had his little book, all without twisting his arm. He loved doing it. Another thing that we did, which incorporates art, is we did a nature journal every single year. As part of their homeschool, they would get a brand new art journal. Sometimes it was bigger and sometimes it was smaller, you know, depending on what was on sale, because those things can be pretty expensive, the spiral bound ones with the really nice pages. And the kids would use that and document their activities, you know, things that they found outdoors. So it was really fun. Also, in my book, I was talking about earlier, Teaching Science and Having Fun, I spoke about creating lab boxes and the importance of having all of the equipment or supplies handy when you're doing science projects or experiments. And this was important for me because I was finding that my measuring cups were being lost and taken outdoors and everything else, and I was having to scrounge around when I wanted to make a recipe. So I started adding things to this box, thermometers, measuring cups, measuring spoons, all kinds of things that the kids could use. And then as they got older, one of the kids even had test tubes and things like that. What was really exciting to me was when the kids started asking if they could take their science box outdoors when it wasn't even school time. Can you imagine that? If you teach kids to love to learn, they will surprise you. And I always used to say, you know, I didn't have to worry about documenting the 3 or the 4 or the 5 hours a day because my kids did so much more than the allotted time. And I was always so encouraged when I saw how excited they were about learning. And again, it starts young, and if you can get them younger, that's great. But if you have older kids, you know, it doesn't hurt to go on a nature walk. I mean, where we live, we don't have seasons, we don't have mountains, but yet, even with our beaches and our parks, we can find a lot of different things to study, and I enjoy doing that, and I'm looking forward to doing more of that with my grandkids. Art projects, you know, you can do super fun projects using your fingerprinks. The kids can use a pad, ink pads to make fun creatures. And then they can study their fingerprints and they can find out how all of their prints are different. So if you have multiple children, you can do this with their friends. If you only have one child, and you can put or even do it with other siblings or family members, and you can each do your fingerprint and study each of your fingerprints. And it is amazing how we don't have the same fingerprint as anyone else, and discuss that, the amazing creative ability of our God. Another fun activity is crayon relief with watercolors. I give the kids crayons and I tell them to color really dark, and then we can use a watercolor wash and do the sky and the grass and things like that. And then you explain to them, you know, why did the color not stick where the crayons were? Again, something, if you don't know these questions, you can look them up. We did not have the internet at our fingertips like you do now, moms and dads. So it was really, you know, a little bit more difficult to find the answers. Unit studies were super fun, and we did this as a group. We studied the medieval period, and my husband always said we never got out of ancient studies because I personally loved them, and so did my friends. And one time, as a culmination of studying about the kings and the queens and the different periods of time and, you know, all everything medieval and reading books on our own, we culminated as a group. And my friends had her neighbors down the street dress up as a king and queen, and they enacted a full medieval meal complete with bread bowls for plates and whole chickens that the kids could even throw the bones on the ground. It was amazing, and she took her doggies outside, cute little poodles that would probably would have choked on the chicken bones. But, you know, it was so fun, and they jousted outdoors, and it was great, and they even helped make their own clothing. And I don't sew because I had a mom who was an amazing seamstress, and it actually skipped a generation. My daughter Christina is an amazing seamstress, and so you know, other friends helped us to sew costumes, and the kids helped, and whereas I'm better with the arts and crafts and could help the boys make the swords and the shields and things like that, and the crowns and the stuff that the little kids wore. So it was so fun. We even had a court jester. Another big culmination activity, and again, this is after doing certain little projects together. We learned all about the weather. We learned how to read a weather map in the paper. We learned how to understand the weather map on TV. And then we took turns being weather men or weather girls, and we did a video having the kids use their own findings. So they had a barometer. They had a rain catcher to measure the amount of rain for the month. They did all of these calculations. You know, first we studied about weather. Secondly, they made all of these little weather things that they could use to, you know, check the weather and record the weather. And then at the end, they did their presentation, which we practiced, and the kids could point to the, you know, weather map and things like that. And again, this is before we had everything that you guys have today. Is so amazing, and I can't imagine what our production would look like today with the green screen, where we could, you know, later super implant in the back of the video, you know, an actual map, whereas the kids had drawn a weather map and they were pointing to their own maps, you know, that they were using, and then reading all of their different rainfall and, you know, how many days had sunlight and what kinds of clouds they observed. So even to this day, my children really are good with the weather. They know if storm clouds are coming when we're at the beach or doing an outdoor activity. And, you know, my husband's in construction, so he always says that they have to be able to read the weather, whether to roll up and pack up all the guys for safety or whether the storm is far away. And he always is able to tell. So I hope that this, you know, short little podcast helped to inspire you to look for some fun things that you can do with your kids, and you can make it school. You know, so many things that we do every day, there is a science behind it, or there's a historic perspective you could study. And if we just do that, use play, if you will, to do school, you will have excited kids. So if you're in a slump right now and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I just can't wait for the school year to end, you may want to take a break and plan some fun activities with your kids that will help inspire them, and that will give them renewed encouragement to be able to finish the school year with a bang, or this is a great activity to start a new school year, especially anytime after the holidays. Well, guys, take care. Thanks so much for listening. Again, I want to thank our sponsor, and that is Sony Pictures, featuring the movie Smurfs: The Lost Village. Again, you can find information about that movie at smurfsmovie.com, and be sure to check out that Christian study guide, which I, by the way, love, for this movie on our show notes page on podcast 194 on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com or at affirmsfilms.com. Take care, guys. God bless, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.